This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Somebody expectant this early morning to receive a word from God, shout aloud, "Thank you, Jesus." This is the third day upon this mountain. Levels must change. After 3 days, He will lift us up, and His revelation is His elevator for your elevation. Lift up your two hands. "My Father, send me my word this morning that will change my level. Send me my word this morning that will change my story. A word from you is enough to change my world. I'm ready. I'm expectant. My eyes are on you. Send me your word. Change my level. Change my story from glory to glory." Lift up your voice and talk to God. Receive with faith in your heart. We have gathered to hear from Him, not from man. He can do what no one else can do. Thank you, Holy Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' awesome name, we have prayed. Amen. One more time, Father, thank you for the privilege of being part of this mountain of breaking new grounds. Thank you because the grounds are already breaking. Thank you because levels are already changing. Again this morning, particularly, we are placing a demand on your grace upon our Father. When Elisha asked for that grace, levels changed. As you are with our Father, be with us again this morning. Speak to us through His voice. Change our lives to your praise. In Jesus' awesome name, we have prayed. A loud and better amen. Amen. Ayah 2023. More forcefully, breaking new grounds. Please take your seat. Give Jesus the biggest hand of praise. And please be seated in God's presence. I have the privilege this morning, and I don't take it for granted. I appreciate God, who through His servant, my Father, the apostle over this commission, has granted me this opportunity to be part of this meeting in this capacity. Be reminded that the running focus for this convention, the teaching series of this convention, remains spirituality, highway to my enviable destiny. Can we declare it together? One, two, go. And now we are dealing for this first word section on the subject captioned "Wisdom from above in thrones." Wisdom from above in thrones. First of all, what does it mean to be enthroned or to enthrone? To know if you are interested or not. To enthrone means to take someone and put him on the throne. Psalms chapter 78, verse 70, beginning. The Bible speaking about David and his enthronement. Said he chose David. Somebody shall be chosen today. And took him from the sheepfolds. Verse 71, very quickly, please. From following ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. He took him from the wilderness, following ewes, goats, sheep, and he put him on the throne without apology. He put him on the throne and no one could talk. When God enthrones you, no one and nothing can dethrone you. Upon this mountain, somebody is enjoying divine enthronement. Enthronement means to take you from wherever you are. And the good news is that no matter your level right now, God's hand can reach you. He can pick somebody from the prison and make him a prime minister. He can pick somebody from the bush and put him on the throne. He picked Saul from wandering the wilderness looking for a few goats. And the next destination he found himself was on the mountain becoming a king. I don't know how you came. I have good news for you. You are returning enthroned. Enthronement also means to succeed on the throne. It's one thing to be put on the throne, but another thing to succeed on the throne. Psalms 49, verse 12 and verse 20, but with emphasis on verse 20 today, it says, he that is in honor, he that is enthroned, he that is made a king, but abideth not, he is like a beast that perisheth. Get to verse 20 for better understanding. In verse 20, a man that is in honor, a youth that is enthroned, and understandeth not, but lacks wisdom, we still die like a goat killed on express road. God's servant taught us yesterday, it's not enough to say God forbid. Now, for that scripture, say, I forbid. So, wisdom from above has what it takes to put you on the throne and to make you succeed on the throne. This enthronement is not just about political enthronement. Sense of God, you don't need to be the president to be in charge. Everybody knows that in this nation right now, there are people in charge and there are people discharged. There are people whose words weigh more than traditional rulers. There are entities whose words weigh more than prime ministers and directors. To be enthroned, or this kingship talks about calling the shot in your field of calling. By reason of result, taking the lead in your area of calling. So God called you into music ministry. To be enthroned means you are on top. He calls you as a wife. Among wives, you are the wife. He calls you, he created you as a woman. Among women, you are highly favored. I'm not hearing an amen here at all. This is what wisdom does. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12 beginning. We will take verse 12, we'll jump to verse 15 and then verse 16. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12. See wisdom in action. He says, I wisdom, please, can we get there very quickly? Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12, beginning. It says, I wisdom dwell with prudence. So this wisdom we are talking about, this kind of wisdom from above, is not a thing. It's a person. It has audacity. It has capacity. It has association. It has a voice. It can introduce itself. It's a personality. I wisdom dwell with prudence and find out, I have capacity to find out knowledge of witty inventions. Look at verse 15. If you are interested, by me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, again, princes rule and nobles even all the judges of the earth. So if you are not having me, you are not yet ruling. If you are not having me, don't think you are yet in charge. I am the only one with the strength to put and to keep. If God keeps you, nothing and no one can kill you. But if God keeps you, nothing and no one can kill you. Look at the way the Living Bible renders it. It will give us better understanding. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 15. Because of my strength, says wisdom, kings reign in power, and princes make just laws that last. By me, by my strength, I have what it takes to put kings in power and help them make just rules that will last and make them last. From this mountain, that shall be our testimony. And I'd like you to know that this is not an inordinate ambition to expect enthronement by divine wisdom. It's not a game. It's a prophetic agenda. It's not a scheme. It's a divine mandate. We have heard from our father, the apostle, over this commission, who by privilege has been proved by time itself to be one of the leading voices of God, custodians and dissipators of God's agenda for the church, that these last days shall be church days. If you're a church person, say amen now. According to his words, the wisdom wave is coming upon the end time church. Don't tell me about the wilderness church. Don't tell me about the church in Egypt. There are seasons. During dry season, there may be no rain. But during rainy season, rain becomes berekatious. You see, we are in the end time. We are the church born in due season. And from the words of our father, he says that the waves, wisdom waves, is coming upon the end time church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Very quickly. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Somebody say, manifold wisdom. I like the way Amplified Classics put it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. It says, the purpose is that through the church, the complicated, many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, that is, principalities and powers in heavenly sphere. There are still dimensions that angels don't know, dimensions that witches don't know, dimensions that wizards holding your family down don't know, dimensions that strong men stopping your village don't know. There are still dimensions far beyond them. God is saying, I will show at the end of this match that I am not a joker, by introducing the joker of divine wisdom. You know, every good coach, he watches the match until towards the end, he introduces a joker. And the joker jokes with the opponent that thinks they are winning. And before you know it, the game turns. God is saying, this end time, all the yeye city of the devil shall be humbled by the divinity of God's wisdom. Yeah. Receive it with a louder amen. So the end time church shall become the wisdom wonder of this world. There is no gainsaying it. The end time church, you and I, shall become the wisdom wonder of this world. Say amen. The church has been ordained by God to go into it. It may not look like it, but as long as we stay aligned with God and his prophet, we grow into it. Don't forget, the Bible says we grow from strength to strength, appearing before the Lord in Zion. That's what happens in church. So we church to become the manifold wisdom of God. We don't come to church for association. You didn't come here for connectivity. You didn't come here for showability. You didn't come here for association. When we go to church, we are growing. We are mingling with God to grow in wisdom until we fulfill his will, which is to become the manifold, complicated wisdom of God that will humble the powers of darkness in our time. And that shall come to pass. I said that shall come to pass. Look at church described. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. And he gave some apostles. This is the church, oh. Some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. Verse 12, very quickly. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till when? till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ himself. This is what happens in church. This is what church is about. This is what home cell is about. This is what Sunday service is about. As I'm going, I'm growing. 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 The more I go, the more I grow. And before you know it, from stupidity, I become divinity. Even Jesus did not emerge overnight. Jesus grew into it. Luke chapter 2, verse 40 first, then verse 42. Luke chapter 2, verse 40. And the child, Jesus, grew and waxed strong in the spirit, filled with wisdom. It was small, small. And the grace of God was upon him. Look at verse 42 very quickly. Verse 42. And when he was 12 years old, to see how he grew by touching. They went to Jerusalem. And as the custom was, they feasted. And after the feast, time may not permit me. If you go through that scripture, go 43, 44, 45, 46, 47, you will see that as they were returning, Jesus remained churching. The churcher, the wiser. The parents left church. Jesus remained in church. And as they went and went and went and went for some days, a day's journey, meaning that Jesus tarried in church for one day as a 12-year-old child. How old are you? 1 hour in church. All day long, he was in church. They only discovered that he was missing after one day. And if you read that scripture, the Bible says, after many days, when they returned to find him, they still found him in church. Let's go for home cell. Shall I go Sunday service? Shall I go Wednesday service? I don't want to stop God though. Jesus was there doing what? He was sitting with doctors, listening and asking questions. Listening, it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. Go to verse 47 and see what happened. The Bible says in verse 47, and all that heard him were astonished that this guy cannot be 12 years. He's 12 years, only that he's 12 years plus divine wisdom. And good news. Matthew 13 verse 54. Matthew 13 verse 54. See this account. When he was come, people thought he was wasting his time. When others were going, he was tarrying. Pastor Isaac taught yesterday, if you don't tarry, you can't carry. He was tarrying. They thought he was wasting his time. But the Bible says, when he came into his own country, he thought those that thought he was wasting his time. In so much that they were astonished and said, whence had this man this what? It's not the size, it's not the connection, it's the wisdom. We are searching for this thing. This wisdom and this mighty works by searching. By searching. The world will start searching for Josephs and Daniels in the church. I don't know why you're not shouting. Now, in case your name is not Joseph and Daniel, it's not what I mean. What that word means is that God will start searching with people with capacity like Joseph and capacity like Daniel. People who are God's wisdom bank. Say God's wisdom bank. Say solution bearers. The world will start searching for those that have the answer to their questions. They will find us. I said they will find us. I said they will find us. Let's take an example from Joseph and Daniel. Genesis chapter 41 for Joseph, verse 38. Genesis chapter 41, verse 38. Very quickly. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this man, a man in whom the spirit of God is? Verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God had showed thee all these things, there is none so qualified and wise. God showed you none as wise. God showed you none as wise. This is where meekness comes in. The world will be looking for us as God's wisdom banks. Not that we are the wisdom. We are only the container. Be humble. Results will start coming by the prophecies of God's servant from this mountain. But always remember, like Joseph, the wisdom is coming from source, the Almighty God. The wisdom is coming from God. We are not the owners. We are not the source. We are only containers. Look at Daniel in Daniel chapter 5. Read verse 9 first. Daniel chapter 5, verse 9. The Bible says, then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. He had a dream he could not interpret. And in verse 11, the wife advised him, there is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, and in the days of thy father, light and understanding and what? Wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar thy father, the king I said thy father, made master. Hi, master, you are not failing because of magicians, you are not failing because of juju men. Wisdom of God makes you master over devils. He says, Belshazzar, there is a man that has the spirit of God, and from the time of your father, he has been on top, even over magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, soothsayers, witch doctors, Yahoo Yahoo. Are you hearing what God is telling us this morning? But it calls for meekness. This man is not a wise one. What made him different was that the spirit of the Lord was in him, and the wisdom of God was at work in him. Why do we need meekness? There are no finish lines in the school of divine wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9. There are no finish lines in the school of divine wisdom. Give instruction to the wise, and he will yet become wiser. Teach a just man, he will increase in knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. There is no finish line in the school of wisdom. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. When you stop learning, you have stopped growing in wisdom. There is no finish line in this department of wisdom. And that's what keeps us humble, desiring for more. Why? You stop updating, you become outdated. We don't graduate in the school of wisdom. We simply update. Lift up your right hand. Father, I need more. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, the Bible made us understand that this wisdom is infinite. It's past finding out. It's beyond what you can reach and claim that you have seen it all. You just keep going. Now, what is this wisdom from above? Somebody shout, what is this wisdom from above? Wisdom from above is locating God's ways and walking in them. Locating what God's ways and walking in them. It's not what you know that makes a difference in you. It's not what you know that puts you on the throne. It's what you do with what you know. It's not what we are taught. Is what we do with what we are taught that makes the difference in our lives. Once wise is not always wise. Please hear this. Once wisest can become next most foolish. Be careful. Be warned. Our Father will keep telling us, don't ever think you have arrived. You have not seen anything yet. This wisdom is locating God's ways and walking in them. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man. And he shall be like one built upon the rock, a house built upon the rock. Rain will come, persecution will come, inflation will come, all manner subsidy will come. But this man will not be moved. May meekness to keep continuing with what God says as doers and not as hearers be multiplied upon us. I say, may it be multiplied upon us. We heard God's servant, the resident pastor, say yesterday that God spoke to him a few years ago that for you to emerge tops, there are things you must give up. That is, there are things you must lose. There are things you must shed. And no matter how pleasant they were, he chose to shed them as at then, and he's still shedding them till today. Hearing what God said and doing it enthrones you. When you keep doing it, it retains you. You do it, it enthrones you. You keep doing it, it retains you. Everyone here now knows that prayer taps into God's wisdom. Prayer taps into God's power. Everybody knows that Canaan land is not an ordinary land. It's the place. You know it, you quote it. You know it, this is the place. But what are you doing with the place? I walked around yesterday around one, and I knew that this commission has hope. Young people that look like nobody. One a.m. Whereas yesterday, when I was doing World Round for workshop that was organized for you, you have a problem with drug abuse. People are testifying that God has changed their life upon this mountain. You have a problem with your business. People said they went to workshop for business and career, and today they have estates. You have all those things. You came to Canaan land. Canaan things. You are doing nothing. You know, quiet please. You know everything. You are doing nothing. There are people here now that their prayer tank is not empty. Their prayer tank is minus. So when they start praying now, the tank will start becoming tank before it can even get anything. Now, there is no personal prayer, no tears at all. You have not knelt down. You have not done anything. But when resident pastor says, well, buying cars now is not a testimony. It's high, receive it. What God does for one, he does for all. You are receiving nothing. Listen to the work before you claim the what. Building from start to finish, a rural church now is nothing for me. I receive it. Go and buy land. You want to receive it? Start with the instruction. Sell that car. Obey. Give that shoe. Walking the word is what works. Lose that girlfriend. It's frying you. Stop that drugs. It's killing you. Doing what God says. What's this wisdom? This wisdom is continuity in the working of the word of God. Many start, but they lose steam in no time. The greatest challenge in the school of wisdom is the Laodicean syndrome, aka I have arrived, aka I don't try, aka at all, Naim bad pass. You know, some people get some philosophies that are so bad. You are in a kingdom where God says, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And your language is at all. Naim bad pass. God says, good measure, pressed down, shaking together. Okay, leave Bible. You are in this kind of commission. Faith tabernacle, wonder. Ark, wonder. Sea size, wonder. You are in this kind of commission. And what they're saying? At all. You are not ordained for enough. The destiny of this age, I heard from my father, is on our shoulders. You are not ordained for enough. That girl said, I told God, let me be the one that will break this academic stagnation in my family for 30 years. And by taking responsibility to doing what God's servant said, engaged like never before. She engaged. She broke it. And she said, a Pharaoh stood up. She entered prayer. I wear the face of my father. Some people don't even know what it means to have God of my father. Some people, this generation is so disconnected from spiritual realities. Can I tell you, the blessing of a father helps you to prevail where others travel. Take everything. Let me take the blessing of my father. Watch, in no time, I will get everything, including you. But you don't know how to hunt. The people of darkness know how to hunt for blessings. They can go to India looking for charm. The people of the church, Laodicean syndrome, have arrived. Revelation chapter 3, from verse 16 to 17. I'm rich. I have no problem. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. Verse 17, very quickly. Because thou sayest, I am rich, I'm increasing goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that compared to what I have in plan for you, you are what? Wretched. Say, I forbid. Miserable. What? Poor. What? Blind. What? Naked. What? So the more you are saying, at all, you are becoming wretched. At all, miserable. At all, poor. Before you know it, naked. Say with me, it's not enough. Say with me, more of you. Can I hear a loud amen? There are four kinds of wisdom. Excuse me. To help our understanding, number one is earthly wisdom, known as natural wisdom, and it's recognized in scriptures in James chapter 3, verse 15. It's common sense, some will call it. For instance, nobody teaches a child to cry. From day one, there are things that nobody teaches you. You can beat a child to cry, but nobody tells the child, you cry with your mouth. Have you ever seen a child crying with the nose? That first time, somebody say common wisdom. Number two is the sensual wisdom. This one is also known as intellectual wisdom. You can get this one by exertion or education. You see, the kind of school you pass through can determine the way you speak, can determine the way you think, can determine your mindset. But I've discovered that there is no level of education that can match divine inspiration. Sensual wisdom is good, but it's limited. Number three is devilish wisdom or diabolical wisdom. You get it via, you have results through craftiness or connection to demonic powers. That one itself is also limited, as seen in James chapter 3, verse 15, devilish wisdom. But our emphasis is on divine wisdom. That is the wisdom from above. And that's the one you are getting today. In James chapter 3, verse 17. James chapter 3, verse 17. It says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, then what? Gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Shout, I receive it. What's the uniqueness of divine wisdom? Number one, the wisdom from above is ordained to be above all. John chapter 3 verse 31. That's the ordination. It's like creation of human body. The head cannot be anywhere else but on top. That's the way God made it. Now look at me. Stop writing one bit. Look at my hand. It was designed that the third finger will be tallest, no matter which side you look at it from. Which is tallest? Third or second? How about this way? Third or second? How about this way? Third or second? How about this way? Or the first? By this wisdom, no matter where they turn, it shall be your turn. It's ordained to be on top. In John 3:31, it says, he that is from above is above all. And number two uniqueness about this wisdom is that it enthrones the carriers with supernatural results. God will give us results that will humble every adversary. Say that amen like a youth. We saw how it enthroned Moses with results. Exodus chapter 7 verse 12. Competition brewed. And the Bible says Moses turned his rod to a serpent. The magicians brought their own applications and their own quotations, but the rod of Moses and Aaron swallowed their own rods. We saw how this wisdom enthroned Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 verse 17, as for these four Hebrew children, God gave them wisdom in all learning and understanding. And look at verse 20. When examination came, their results were 10 times better. Please, I decree today, may the grace to believe God's word be multiplied upon us. So from today, for every competition, we shall be minimum 10 times better. 10 times, 10 times, 10 times. Now, what is the access to this wisdom? The foundational access to this wisdom, hear this, is the fear of God. Iniquity corrupts inspiration. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let us stop killing ourselves. Let's start building our lives. Integrity, however, injects inspiration. Show me anyone in the Bible that chose to fear God. You see them excelling in wisdom. Job feared God. His results by wisdom were strange. He was the one telling us where wisdom dwelled. Daniel 1:8, purposed in his heart to fear God. God downloaded wisdom to this man that his results were humbling even kings. They were worshiping him. And when I mean results, it means results in your field, in your sphere. No matter where God has put us, we are ordained to be on top. I see you in tailoring, taking charge. Yeah. Industry, you are taking charge. Yeah. Politics, you are taking charge. Yeah. Number two source of this wisdom is the spirit of wisdom. The first one is the fear of God. That means you must make a decision. Don't know it. Don't write it. Make a decision. I'm cutting off with this habit. That young man said, I've been on drugs for 1 year. But I said, no. My pastor connected with me. But the connection of the pastor will not replace personal responsibility. Papa said, you either take personal responsibility or you die as a liability. This thing, I can't stop it. Stop arrogating powers to the devil. You have the power of choice. I said once, nobody forces anyone to become Man U fan. You choose to be if you want to your detriment. But number two is the spirit of wisdom. Somebody said the spirit of wisdom. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 to 3. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 to 3. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Verse 2. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom. So, the spirit of wisdom comes on us from God. But there are two major qualifications for the spirit of wisdom. Number one is fear of God. Number one is what? Proverbs chapter 1 verse 23. Turn at my reproof and I will pour out my spirit. Number two is thirst. I want to see thirst from now. God's servant is speaking. Your eye is showing thirst. You are walking this ground in the night praying. Is showing thirst. You are betting. Is showing thirst. You are hungry for this spirit of wisdom. In Luke 11 verse 13, Jesus said, how much more shall my Father give the spirit to those that ask? So thirsting means asking with desperation. And the last, we get wiser through the word of God. Sense of God, God's word is the wisdom bank of God. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 13. You can't be wordless and still be wise. It's high time we reschedule our word schedule. What is your word schedule? You go to those that sell to buy. God said in his word that his word is his wisdom bank. His word, Luke 11:49, thus says the wisdom of God, referring to the word of God. Paul, in 2 Timothy 4:13, was paying attention to the details of God's word, his notes. After writing these notes, you must go back to them. You must build your word schedule to reflect your seriousness from today. You must begin to hunt for the word as one that believes it is the wisdom bank of God. And as you rub your mind with the word of God, your level will keep changing. Right in your seated position, lift up your right hand. Declare with me, I remain thirsty for the word of God. And I change from level to level. From glory to glory. Enthroned for life. Thank you, Jesus. Shout aloud, amen. Give Jesus a big hand, everybody.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.